Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Ask Me Anything, our series where we put your questions to people from really interesting backgrounds or maybe working in a fairly unusual or different career. Today, I'm chatting to somebody who I think works in just an absolutely fascinating area. Can you imagine what it's like to be a crime scene or trauma cleaner? Well, that is what my next guest, Alana Gillen, who's from Specialist Cleaning Northern Ireland, does on a daily basis. Alana, good afternoon. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
How did you get into this?
I always tell people a series of unfortunate events.
Really?
I set up a domestic cleaning business in 2012 off the back of getting sacked, really. Our little cafe closed down during the recession, and it was a sink or swim moment.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, oh, sure, I'll just start a cleaning business or something. And I haven't stopped since, and I've just been sort of snowballing.
Yes, from there. So it was in the kind of commercial world initially, was it? Is that sort of where you started out? And
yes, I started my career sort of 14, 15 in hospitality. And that's all I knew up until 2012. Had no experience of running a business, owning a business, being self-employed. I hadn't a clue. I basically went out on the Monday morning with my Hoover and my caddy and
off you went. How did you end up going from that and maybe cleaning domestic houses and small commercial businesses to working, you know, going in and dealing with the aftermath of crime scene investigations?
So I developed quite a sort of a reputation for doing the weird and wonderful. So it was solicitors and estate agents had got in contact with me to sort of clean really sort of horrible properties that were left behind by bad tenants or sort of people breaking in and vandalising. And I just got a knack for not saying no to sort of any cleaning situation.
Any work that came in, yeah. And that's how you found yourself in this.
Yeah, and I started reading a book called The Trauma Cleaner in 2017, and it was about a lady who was married to a funeral director, and she obviously discovered that there was no one to clean up after the deaths. Mm. And so she made an entire career about it, and then obviously an autobiography. And I read it and I had my light bulb moment. And
that was it.
That's when I knew this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah. You've sort of been dubbed the kind of the death cleaner, haven't you? Isn't that,
yes. Sometimes you get a weird phone call. Someone obviously needs your service and they don't really know what to say. So the first question is, are you the death cleaner?
Really? Yeah. So,
I think it's nice though.
Yeah. So you, just as supposed to be clear, you're not a guard or in the police. This is when, you know, obviously a really serious incident happens or there's, you know, a crime scene or there's been a murder or something like that in a building. The guards, the police have gone in, they've carried out their investigation, and that property where the murder, we'll say, or the incident happened or the violent assault is handed back to the owner. And I suppose they're often, let me be something we don't think of, they're left then with cleaning up the aftermath, and that's where you come in.
That's it. Once everybody's finished with their job, emergency services or guard or police, you're left your own devices after that. You're sort of, your property's handed back to you and good luck.
That's it.
Thankfully, we have a good relationship with funeral directors, north and south, and they will pass on my details if it's something that's required. And the Garda will also get in contact and have done for things like suicides in multi-tenancy homes and things like that there where it is really important. And with sort of the more people finding out that it's a service that's there and is needed, then you'll find it's getting busier and people realise that they shouldn't be doing it themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, loads of questions, needless to say, coming in from listeners today that, Alana, you're going to answer. 087 1400 106, that is the WhatsApp number. You've the headphones on. Take a listen to this question from Teresa.
I would just really love to know, how do you separate your work life from your private life? I mean, obviously you work in a very difficult environment, and then to come away from that environment to go to your normal life, your home life. I don't know if you're married or you have children, but you have to have a separate private life. How do you cut yourself off from that? How do you switch your brain? Because it must be dreadfully difficult.
How do you separate, Alana?
I don't have a social life or a personal life. That's the easy answer. No, I do have a family. I have teenage children. They're grown up. They're 19 and 17. And they've sort of got used to mummy leaving all hours when they were younger as well and just kind of disappearing in the night for an on-call job or anything like that. But other than that, it's you have to be mentally strong, and you have to understand that it is your job. And when you put your forensic suits on, and you're kind of separating yourself from being an empath, and you can do that bit separately with the family when you first meet them, and you can have a chat with them, and you can hug with them, and you can cry with them, and you can hear the story. But once you put that forensic suit on and you go in, it is work mode, and you have to be a professional, because if you don't do it properly, someone could get ill, they could get hurt, and if there's something left behind, and it can cause bloodborne pathogens, or you know, just in general bugs and things like that, a crime scene or
so once you put on the kind of the forensic suit, you're just in a different headspace completely,
yes,
different mode.
You're nearly two different people.
Yeah.
You're the very personal person that's there to chat and sort of have that empathy with someone after they've loved or they've lost a family member. And then once the suit goes on, you are the professional crime scene cleaner.
We've another question in, Alana, from Jason.
Yeah, hi. So very interesting job. I'm just wondering, do you become acclimatized to the job at all? Or is there sort of an ongoing training or assessment that you have to go through to basically, you know, I'd imagine the things you must come across must be quite traumatizing sometimes. And, you know, if we're able to do a good job and to, you know, deal with this yourself.
Good question.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very lucky that I have a lot of resources for counselling or therapy, and that should I need it. I haven't really needed it at this point, although there are certain scenes that you do think about, or you know, you go home and you start when you're having a shower and you think, oh gosh, that poor family, or something was particularly traumatic. If there was a lot of blood or you know, in the likes of a young suicide as well, it makes you go home and it makes you sort of look at your kids a little bit more, and you can't not think about it either. You wouldn't be human otherwise. Certainly if I did need help, and if I did need to talk about there, it is there. There's many resources.
Some of the WhatsApp messages on this, Alana, do you have to go through specialist training?
Do indeed. So I've done two different types of training. In 2017, I went to Manchester, a college in Manchester, and I actually got a wee city in Gills in biohazard crime scene and trauma cleaning. And then in 2021, I took myself to Bristol for Ultima Cleaning Academy, and then they trained me further in biohazard and crime scene cleaning.
Yeah, because it's obviously, I mean, what you're dealing with is entirely different level stuff. Most of us will hopefully never see it in our lifetime, but you know, that's
it.
The kind of scenes that you're arriving at. Do you become immune to the sights that you see?
Yes and no. Some things that you're seeing for the first time, they might be similar. They might be in different situations. But I think it's a job that's every day is different. Every situation is different. Although they can be similar, I think they're pretty different. It's fast moving, and not everything's the same. So,
listeners wondering, and it might sound like maybe a slightly insensitive question, but are there often, like, when you arrive at a scene, well, I just read the listener's message, what are the smells like?
So it depends if someone has been found in time, if they've been there for a long period of time. It's a weird smell of, like, a baby's nappy and rotten rubbish and cabbage.
Right.
You can imagine that all mixed in. And everybody smells different.
Well, I suppose okay. As well, if a body maybe had been there for a long period of time, or
that's it.
Yeah.
It really depends on the situation. If there's been windows open, if it's been hot, if it's been summer, if it's been the winter. You know, if there's ventilation, if there's no ventilation, if the heat's been left on. Lots of different factors.
Another voice note in, Alana, from Connor.
I'd like to know, like, coming from experience of my sister, she works as a midwife, and she says sometimes, like, depending on the day of work, if it's a very hectic or chaotic day, if some bad things happen, she has a bit of a routine to kind of have a distance between her work mindset and her normal mindset. So I was wondering, for your role, would you have to do any, like, any exercises, or any, like, do you have any routines to do to get in and out of the mindset for work?
sometimes. I love reading, so if I want to chill out and switch off, I'll lose myself in a wee novel, and it's usually something silly and romantic and
yeah,
very far from my real life.
Probably a little bit of fiction as well, no harm.
That's it. But other than that, I am ultimately a mum. I'm a busy mum. I'm a single parent, and you don't really have time to think as well. So it's kind of like, mum, can you lift me here? Mum, can you take me here?
Back to normality with a bang.
Yeah.
We've another voice note in from Luke.
Question for the crime scene cleaner. Do they ever find evidence left behind after everybody else has finished with the scene?
Good question.
I have indeed.
Yeah, have you?
I have indeed. I found, unfortunately, there was someone who had committed suicide. And once I was cleaning up the whole bedroom, I actually found the blade that the Garda had left behind.
So you had found something that was involved in it. Okay. And is that, do you, like, if something like that ever happens, do you contact the police then?
Absolutely. I have to ring them back, and then I just stop what I'm doing and I'll leave that and I'll stay there until that someone gets there.
Okay, so that is something that can happen. And like it must be very difficult though, when, like, are you arriving at a scene long after, we'll say, the police or the guards have carried out an investigation?
It just depends where it happens. Sometimes it can happen in a public building or shared accommodation, something like that, there where obviously there's other people. So it would have to be quite quickly. And we sort of try and get there within a 4-hour period if it's south, or if it's north, about 2 hours.
Okay.
If it's something that someone has been passed away, and sometimes the family want to wait till after the funeral or things like that, there, so it can stay for a day or two. But we try and get it done as quickly as possible in all situations.
Listeners wondering, do you listen to music or podcasts while you're at work or in at a crime scene? Yeah,
I do. I love all types of music. And I love listening to podcasts when I'm traveling as well. And sometimes I'm so engrossed in it, I'll just keep on playing when I'm working away.
Yeah, just a sort of a little bit of a distraction. It kind of sounds like a weird question, but is it busy? Like, how busy is this line of work?
So you could get 2-3 phone calls in a week. You could have one in a month. It really, really depends. Some people are very lucky when they pass that it's not traumatic and it's not horrendous, and so obviously the family wouldn't need me, and other people don't get that, and unfortunately there's a lot of crime and that has to be cleaned up as well. So yeah, you can be very busy on a weekly basis.
Do you know what crime has taken place when you get a call to go to a scene? Are you told if it's a call from the police or the guards?
Yes, I'm usually given a brief so that I can be prepared and for the situation and know what equipment to pack in my van or what to take and things like that.
Yeah, okay. Listen, I really appreciate that. It's absolutely fascinating, you know, what you do. I've no doubt people probably ask you a lot of questions about this, do they?
Yeah, everyone suddenly turns into serial killers.
Really?
They think I can just come and clean it up.
Yeah.
They'll never know.
I know. I know a lot of questions coming in, people are wondering too. On a much lighter note, about stains and remedies and trying to remove all of that from different clothing as well. But perhaps that's a question for another day. Alana Gillen from Specialist Cleaning NI. Thanks a million, Alana, for joining us here in the programme today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.